The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlachan Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen. Daf Mem Het. Today's daf is being studied by Le'alu Nishmat Mor Zekinir by Yosef Ben Sarah, and Barat Zekinati Yafa Batzarah, by Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Ashur Imam Moshe Ben Sarah, Moshe Ben Dinah, Sarah Ruhamah Batahim, Sarah Batrahel, Elna Nefarilin Fatan Nefesh, Fatagur Fatam Kerabal Bavichinin Asum and Amar. Amen. We begin today's daf on Mem Het Amud Rishon, and we are starting about 10 lines down, starting from the 12 lines down exactly, starting from the Tashema. Again, we are in the middle of a sugya over here, a great machloket between Rabbi Yohanan and the Shlakish regarding a person that buys a field only for the perot. So do we say that the kinyan in the perot gives the buyer a kinyan in the goof of the karka itself? Or do we say no? Kinyan perot, lav ke kinyan haguf dami. That's Rabbi Yohanan says, perot gives you ownership of the karka, whereas the Shtakish says it does not. Nafkamina, we said by Bikurim. Do you make the recitation by Bikurim? By Bikurim, there was a recitation that the owner has to make when he brings the fruit, and he says, Mireshit piri ha'adama ashen natatali. So can you say piri ha'adama, is it your land or not? So according to Rabbi Yohanan, you can make the recitation. According to the Shlakish, you cannot. Tashema, now the Gemara wants to bring proofs to the different opinions. Comes the Gemara and says, Tashema, Hakone ilan vekarkao. A guy buys a tree, right? Vekarkao, and he buys the land as well that's under the tree. Mevi vekore. He brings the bikurim, and he does the reading. Now that's a proof according to the Shtakish. Because he bought the ilan and the karka. So if you didn't buy the karka, just because you have the tree and the fruit, it's not enough. You need to have the ilan and the karka. Because kinyan perot is not like kinyan aguf. So comes the Gemara and says, Hacha b'ma'askinan bizman she'en ayuvel noheg. Now, we're talking about over here in a time where the yovel does not apply. So in a time where the yovel does not apply, let's review the yovel situation. When the yovel applies, everybody agrees. It's automatically when you sell a field, you're not selling it for the karka, you're selling it only for the perot. That's without even stipulating. That's considered automatic. However, in this case over here, we're talking about bizman she'en ayovel kayam. Now, bizman she'en ayovel kayam, so it was not an automatic. So therefore, if the guy clearly said, I'm selling you the field and the karka, so therefore everybody agrees. The field and the karka is considered, the tree and the karka, that's considered that is going to be mevi vekore. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, actually we don't get to that Rashi until to the next one. So that's the Gemara's answer. We're talking about over here, bizman she'en ayovel noheg. And therefore, when you're buying the field, it's conclusive. You gotta get the point. When your veil doesn't apply, nothing goes back to the original owner. So when you buy a tree, you're buying the tree, and it's belonging to you forever. It's not a case of perot. In a case of your veil, that's when perot apply. Why? Because that's when the field goes back. So you're never actually acquiring the field itself. But in the case where your veil doesn't apply, the sale is conclusive. And therefore, you have no ra'ayah to a case of perot. Tashema. Next case. Hakone shne ilanot betoch sadeh shel haveru. A guy buys two trees in his friend's field. Okay. Mevi ve'eno kore. Okay. Two, he brings bekurim, of course, but it is not, because that's only when you sell your friend two trees, you could assume you're just selling him the perot, you're not selling him the ground underneath. So the Gemara makes it to you. Ha'shelosha mevi ve'kore. Oh, but if you sold them three, then you got to assume that not only are you giving him the fruit, but you're giving him the karka around it in order that he can, you know, collect the fruits and things like that. There's a certain shiur that the Hakamim gave him around the fields. But what do you see over here? You see that davka, because he owns the karka, right? So you see that what? Really, kinyan perot, lavki kinyan haguf. Unless what? Unless he's actually getting the karka itself. So comes the Gemara and says, again, we're talking about again where it's not in Yovel. So when it's not in Yovel, it's not a kinyan perot. It's kinyan aguf. You thought it's a case where it's talking about whether Yovel was around. Oh, whether Yovel is around, right? So the Yovel is around. Everything's kinyan perot. Every case in Yovel is always kinyan perot because the field's always going back. So we said what? That even though it's kinyan perot, we're saying what? He's got to have the. It's got to have the field itself. So about bizman she'en ayovel kayam. So bizman she'en ayovel kayam. It's conclusive. It's not a case of kinyan perot because the field's not going back. If you have no question on the shtakish, comes Gemara and says the hashta de amar of Chizda. But now that we have a famous statement of Rav Chizda that says machloket biyovel sheni, aval biyovel arishon. Which means like this. We want to make a difference between now the first Yovel of history and then every other Yovel after that. Why? The first Yovel in history, the people didn't know if it's going to work. They didn't know if they're ever going to get their fields back. It never happened before. So the first Yovel in history, since they didn't know if it's going to ever come back, so therefore everybody agreed in that case that the sale is only considered, the sale of it is considered like karka, because they didn't think they were getting it back. So therefore, everybody in that case over there, even the shtakish is going to hold over there, that in the first yovel, it was considered conclusive. Because when you sold the field, people didn't think they were getting it back, because it never happened yet. However, in the second yovel, after already they had a precedence, after they saw that really it works, that after 49 years, 50 years, the field goes back, then already you could look at it as a kinyan perot. The akati lo samach da'atayu. Right? If the first one, they weren't so mechdadya. They didn't trust that it's going to be come back. And therefore, look at Ashi. Ashi says, Machlok drishtekit ram biyovel sheni. Shemanu Yisrael shekevar hurgelu. They got already accustomed la'azir karkaot. Ba'ika barishtekish mevi ve'eno kore. In the second Yovel, that's when the Shekish said you can consider it perot. Because the guy, when he bought it, already he knows it's leaving him. Or when the buyer is mocher, the seller, right? They're both certain that it's going to come back. So Gemara says, which means all these cases that we answered, that it's talking about bizman she'en yovel. Right? We answered all these braitot above. We said it's talking about a case where the yovel doesn't apply. Now we don't have to say that. Because since we learned the mahlok, it was only in yovel sheni, we could say all those cases were talking about yovel rishon. And therefore, in the first yovel, everybody agrees it's considered karka. It's not considered perot. And therefore, all those braitot, till now, had we answered the braitot, we wanted to say bizman she'en yovel kayam. Therefore, it's conclusive. I don't have to say it anymore. I can say it's talking about Yovel Rishon. And the Machlok that Rishakich Rabbi Yochanan was Yovel Sheni. Understand that? Because in Yovel Sheni, that's already they understood it was Perot already. Because it worked. It worked once. Therefore, we'll have the Machlok. Rishakich is going to say, now I can say it's Perot. But Yovel Rishon, even the Rishakich is going to say, we don't look at it as Perot. Because why? We never had a field yet that went back to its original owner. So everybody's assuming it's going to be forever. And therefore, there's a haluk between Yovel Rishon and Yovel Sheni. So somebody, to Krista, somebody asked you, the Mahlok and the Yohanan Rishdakish, in which case is it talking? Tafka from the second Yovel and on. In the first Yovel, everybody agrees that the field is sold conclusively, even though it's really not, even though it goes back. But since the seller does not have da'at that it's coming back to him, so he's selling it for good. Mm-hmm. Right? 50 years later, he was shocked when he got it back, I'm sure. So from then on, then already you can say he's only selling it, it's kinyan peruk, because he knows it's coming back to him. Now the Gemara goes further. Now, in order to appreciate this next Gemara, we have to have a little introduction. There's pesukim in the Torah that talk about two types of fields. One field is called a seder ahuza, that's a field that you inherit. And there's another type of field that's called a seder kinyan. Okay, that's a field that you acquire. Or seder mikneh, okay, that you acquire. There is a nafka mina in the laws of hekdesh and yovel to a field that is inherited or a field that you acquired, that you bought. What is the nafka mina? So the law is like this. Let's say a person inherited a field from his father, and then he made it hekdesh. Okay? Once he makes it hekdesh, so the law is now, who owns it? The gizbar of the Beit HaMikdash. It belongs to him. Now your veil comes. When your veil comes, now, the child can redeem it up to the your veil. That's not a question. You can always redeem your hekdesh. We're talking about a case where he didn't redeem it. He didn't redeem it, so it's in the hands of the Gizbab. And now what happens, the Yovel comes. Who does the field go back to? Which means, let's say the Gizbab over here still has it. It's in his possession. Does it? Or he sold it, let's say. Let's say he can do whatever he wants with it. He sold it. Does that field go back to the Kohanim? Or does the field go back to the original owner, which would be the son that inherited it? And we discuss now a case of, basically, to crystallize, Hekdesh and Yovel. How does a Hekdesh item get affected by the Yovel? To which owner does it go back to? Does it go back to the Kohanim, or does it go back to the original owner, the one that made it, Hekdesh? So look at the Rashi. Rashi, I'm just giving you an introduction. Look at Rashi, Sadeh Ahuza. Im Mikdisha, to a person, let's say, made the inheritance holy, ולא גאלה קודם היובל. He didn't redeem it before the yovel, the son. ומכרה גזבר לאחר. And the gizbar of course sold it. You can do whatever you want with the field. It belongs to the Hekdesh. אינה נגאלת עוד. Which means that's it. The guy can't redeem it anymore. It's sold. וכשהיא יוצאה ביובל, מיד הלוקחה מן הגזבר מתחלקת הכהנים. So what happens in yovel is the guy who purchased it loses it, and it goes back to the kohanim, and they divide it. That's the law of Sedeh Ahuza. Shene'emar, v'im lo yig'al et ha-sedeh, v'haya sedeh betzeto, and it says it goes back to the Kohanim. Now, v'sedeh mikna, what's that case? K'shigdisha v'lo, you bought a field. It's not, you bought a field from a guy. Okay? And what? He made it a dish, and then he sold it. U'machra ha-gizbar, k'shu yotza b'yovel, in that case over there, chozeret neba'alim ha-rishonim. Shemachru ha- There, the Magdish, which means there it goes back to the original owners. Okay? Shene Emar, Bishnat Tovil Yeshuva Sadeh La'asher Kanao Me'ito. So there's a nafka mina between Sde Ahuza and Sde Mikna. Sde Ahuza, the owner loses it. The child that inherited the field subsequently made it Ekdesh. It went to the Gizbar. The Gizbar sold it. Yovel came, goes back to the Kohanim. So then Mikna is different. He bought a field, so he owns the field. He made an Ekdesh, went to the Gizbar, Gizbar sold it, Yovel came, it goes back to the original owner. That's Torah law. Now we're going to give a variation of these two cases. The Gemara begins over here. Gemara says, Lema ketana'e. Let us say that this mahloket between the Shtakish and the Byuhanan, whether Kinyan Perot is like Kinyan Aguf, let us say it's actually a mahloket amongst the Tanaim. Minayin lelokayach sadeh me'abif. Now listen to this case, we're giving a variation. A guy bought a field from his father. He bought it. Now that's called already sadeh mikna. Okay, then what happened? Vigdisha. He consecrated it. Ve'harkach met abif. And then the father died. Now the field is called Sneh Ahuza. You understand? It's a field that it switched. from Sneh Mikna, because he bought it from his father. Then his father died. Now he inherited it. But the Hadush over here is he made it Hikdesh when it was an acquisition, when it was Mikna. So how do you look at it? Do you go from the time that it was consecrated? If you look at it that way, he gets it back in Yovel. However, if you look at it bottom line, now it's there, Ahuzah, so then he doesn't get it back at the Yovel. That is the question over here. Minayin shiteh lefanav kizdeh ahuzah. Oh, how do we know that it's treated like zdeh ahuzah, which means he doesn't get it back, it goes to the Kohanim after the Yovel. Tamud lomar, im et sadeh miknato, asher lo misedeh ahuzato. The Pasuk says, in a case where it's a sadeh mikna, that's not a zdeh ahuzah. Now obviously if it's a zdeh mikna, if it's a purchase, it's not an inheritance. What does the Pasuk have to say? A purchased field, that's not an inherited field. So it says, Sadeh she'ena re'uya li'yot sadeh ahuzah. It's talking about a purchase that can never turn into a inheritance. That's when you purchase it from a stranger. Yatzta zu, as opposed to a purchase from your father, she'ne'uya li'yot sadeh ahuzah. And therefore, this case over here, it turns into sadeh ahuzah, and therefore he was not going to get it back in the Yovel. That's the way who learns the Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Shimon. So that's a big hadush in the Pasuk. Which is to them, it's Pashut. You know, I don't need a Pasuk to tell me that if the kid inherited it and then made it Kodesh, that that's the Ahuzah. That's Pashut, that goes without saying. The hadush in the Pasuk is even if he made it like this when it was only a purchase, and then it turned into an Ahuzah, it has the din of a Ahuzah. That's bad. Now we inherited, which I'll explain to you, because we understand it that when he bought it, he's only buying it for perot, because in Yovel it's going to go back to the father. So the inheritance now he's inheriting the entire field. And that's what the Gemara is going to speak out. Now Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says no. Minayin lelokeach sadeh me'abiv. Guy bought a field from his father, umet abiv, and then the father died. And then only after the father died, then he made it. Hekdesh. That is a case of Sdeh Ahuzah. Talmud Omar, im et sadeh miknato, ashelom misedeh ahuzato. Sadeh she'ena sadeh ahuzah. Yatzta zu shi sadeh ahuzah. Which ahuzato, which means ahuzah. Which is only a field that was made hekdesh when it was a purchase. But if you have a field that was made like this, when it's an ahuzah, it has a din of sdeh ahuzah. Which is according to these opinions over here, which is the opinions of Rabbi Meir, he holds it goes after the time you made it like this. Which means, according to him, he argues on the first case. He says, if you made it like this at the time that it was a purchase, finished, it's a purchase. I don't care if you inherited it after. You go at the time of the hikdesh. And therefore, this case over here, where the guy bought it, from his father, he bought it, it's nothing yet. You didn't make an ignition. Then you narrated it. Then you made an ignition. That's a case of sneh ahuzah. Good. So comes again and says, "V'il Rabbi Yehuda v'Rishlaki v'Rabbi Shimon." According to the first opinions, met abiv ve'agrich disha lo tzricha kra. They don't need a pasuk for that. To them, it's obvious. If the guy, the father died and the kid inherited, they made an ignition. That's pasuk. So they're learning the pasuk is teaching me a bigger hadush. That even if they made it Hekdesh at the time of the purchase, and then it turned into inheritance, still it has a din of as an inheritance. Okay, that's the Mahlokin. Now the Gemara says, what's the base of this Mahlokin? My love, Be'aka Mepalgeh. The Mahlokin is like this. The Rebbe Be'ir Sabar, Kinyan Perot Ke Kinyan Aguf Dameh. Rebbe Meir is going to hold like Rebbe Yohanan, or the opposite. Rebbe Yohanan will hold like Rebbe Meir, the Tana. That says what? When you have a kinyan in the perot, it's like kinyan aguf. And therefore, let's speak out. In a case over here, where let's say you bought the field from your father, according to Rabbi Meir, when you're buying it from your father, really that's a kinyan you only have in perot. Why? Because the field is going to go back to your father in Yovel. Again, when you buy the field from your father, that's always called Kinyan Perot. Why? Because the field is going to return to the father in Yovel. Correct?
Good. But if you hold that Kinyan Pirot is like Kinyan Aguf, that means basically he owns the whole field at that time. Correct? Ubeha bimitat aviv hu delo yarit velomideh. That means at the time of the inheritance, he doesn't inherit anything. Because he purchased it all already at the time of the sale. Nothing is coming to him extra at the time of the inheritance, because already he owns the goof. Ve'ilkach met aviv ve'hakach disha tzarichra. That's why it's a hadush. That's why you need a pasuk to come and tell me that even though he died and you made it like this, it's called a sdeh achuza, even though the inheritance didn't do anything. Again, according to the Bimir, what was the case of the pasuk? The case that we told was Pashut. He bought it. Father died. He then made it Hikdesh. So we say it's considered Sde Ahuza. You know what the Hadush that is? The Hadush that is the inheritance didn't give him any more ownership. Because if you hold Kinyan Pirot, it's like Kinyan Aguf. So at the time that the father sold it to the son, what did he really sell? He only sold Pirot. Because it's always going to come back to the father in the time of Yovel. But still he holds what? The Bimir, Kinyan Perot is like Kinyan Haguf. Therefore the kid owns everything. When the father dies, what changed? Did he get anything more? No. Whatever he had already, he still has. And the Hidush is that still, even though he didn't get anything extra at the time of the inheritance, if he makes an Ekdesh at that point, it's going to be considered a Sdeh Ahuzah. That's the pshat in the Bimir. However, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Savri, Kinyan Perot Lavki Kinyan Aguf Dame. Ubaha Bimitat Abiv Hashtahu De Kayarit. Vilkach Met Abiv Vakach Ikdisha Lotzlichakra. According to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they say no. Kinyan Perot is Lavki Kinyan Aguf Dame. And therefore, at the time that the kid purchased the field, what does he only have according to them? Perot. When the father dies, now he's getting the whole thing, because now the whole thing belongs to him. So that's Pashut. I don't need a Pashut to come and tell me that in that case over there it's called Sdeh Ahuza. Because of course it's an inheritance. The inheritance did something. The inheritance turned it into from Kinyan Perot to Kinyan Haguf, where the guy owns the whole thing. So that's very good. Also, what do you need the Pashut to tell me, obviously? Ve'ilkach met abivat echdisha lo tzirikakra. I don't need that Pashut where the father died and then he made it like this. V'chi yisarikna, so what do you need the pasuk for? Legdisha v'akach metamim, you need the pasuk to be a bigger hadush. We made it like this when the father was still alive, right, at the purchase. Who did sarik? Good, so therefore we found the mahloket amongst the Tanaim, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. Do you say kinyan perot, is kinyan aguf or not? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, le'olam emalach be'alma kasav, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, kinyan perot, kinyan aguf dame. I'll tell you no. Even Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, they're really going to hold, generally speaking, Kinyan Perot is Kinyan Aguf. And therefore, it's like you own the whole thing. Over here, the only reason why they would Doresh the Pasuk like they did, that it's talking about a case where they made it Ekdesh at the purchase, and then it was inherited, because they made it Dirashan the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says, Nechtov Rahmanat, because the Pasuk should have said, Im et sadem miknato asher lo achuzato. It should have said a case of a sadem miknato that's not an inheritance. My missede achuzato. Missede. What does the word missede teach me? Sadeh she'ena reuya liyot sadeh achuza. That's talking about a field that's not potentially able to become an inheritance. However, yatztazu she'reuya liyot sadeh achuza, which means basically, it's a gezah. Don't learn. Till now, we learned that the reason why they picked this case over here, because I don't need the other case. The other case is Pashut. The other case where you tell me, Stam, where the father died, the kid inherited it, they made it Ekdesh. Where the kid bought it. Kid bought it. And then he made it Ekdesh. That we thought was a Pashut case. Because the kid now, by inheriting it, is gaining Kinyan and the goof. Saying, no. Really, he holds it's Kinyan Aguf. And really, the only reason why he chose to learn the bigger Hidush, not the case of where the kid inherited, then made it take dish, and then the father died, he agrees in that case also. The reason why I brought the bigger Hiddush is where the father died, and then he made it, I'm sorry, made an Ekdesh, then the father died, because he had an indication from the Pasuk to tell me that extra Hiddush, from the extra words, Misedeh, which basically is telling me like this, just to get it clearer. All opinions can hold. Kinyan Perot ke Kinyan Aguf. So if it's Kinyan Perot Kinyan Aguf, then even you, Rabbi Shimon, could have learned the case like Rabbi Meir, that the case is talking about where the guy made it, the guy bought it from his father. Father died, then he made an Ekdesh. That's Hiddush in itself. Even though the Yerusha didn't do anything. He says, you're right, I could have learned that, but the reason why I chose to learn the bigger Hiddush is because I had an indication from the Pasuk, Misedeh, to teach me this case. So that we have no proof that it's a machloket amongst the Tanaim. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar of Yosef. Okay. Now we know Rabbi Yochanan has the opinion that says what? Kinyan perot is ki kinyan aguf. If he didn't say that, lo matza yadav v'raglav bebet ha-migdash, he would not find his hands and legs in the Bet HaMidrash. Which is, if he would come into the Bet HaMidrash, they would knock him. Why? Because we have another statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Tamar Rabbi Aseh Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'achim shehalku. We learned this case several times. You have brothers. They divided the inheritance. Likuhotin. We consider the division as a purchase. Because again, the father didn't designate, you're getting this field, you're getting that. The father just died. Now the brothers are coming, we got three brothers, they're dividing the fields arbitrarily. You take this, you take that. And we don't know which field really belongs to each son. It wasn't designated. And therefore, if it was a legal inheritance, which means, if it was like the father said, you're getting this, you're getting that, when your veil comes, it doesn't return to anybody, because it's their field. Here, they're just taking arbitrarily property. So we look at that as a purchase. Therefore, what happens when your veil comes? When your veil comes, it all goes back to the middle, and they have to redivide it. Because maybe I have his field, maybe he has my field. And therefore, when your veil comes, we have to return it. Understand? That's the way he looks at it. And obviously this opinion is not going with the rules of Birira. Because if you went with retroactive selective, which is Birira, you would come along and say, whatever field came to this brother, we say retroactive, that was the field he was supposed to get. We're not going to say Birira. And therefore, the deed of Rabbi Hanan is like this. Ha'achin shehalku. Lekuhoten. It's considered like a purchase. Uma'azirin ze la ze biyovel. So you got it? Let's get clarity. Anytime you have more than one inheritor, the field will always go back in your veil. Okay? Good? Because we're not going with Bereira. That's one thing. And that's Rabbi Yochanan made that statement. Now, once Rabbi Yochanan made this statement regarding inheritors, that it always goes back to the middle. Again, I want to be clear. Why it goes back to the center, to everybody? Because maybe I have your field, maybe you have my field. Because it wasn't designated. And therefore, I got to follow Torah law. Your veil says, I got to return the field to its original owner. I don't know, maybe I'm not the original owner. Therefore, put it back in the center and redivide it. So now the Gemara says, oh, if you're going to hold that a kinyan in the perot is not a kinyan in the guf, lo mashkachat de mighty bikurim, you'll never find a case of somebody bringing bikurim, Ela had bar had ad Yoshua ben Nun. The only case of bringing Bikurim is going to be a case where there was only one inheritor, the son of one inheritor, all the way back from Yoshua ben Nun. Because since of Yochanan holds that what? That whenever there's more than one inheritor, it's considered a case of Kinyan Perot. Why? Because it always goes back in the Yovel. Now, if he's going to know that Kinyan Perot is lafki Kinyan Aguf Dameh, so therefore you'll never have a case of somebody bringing Bikurim and reading. Unless you can only have a sole inheritor. Again, I repeat again. Whenever your veil is in play, that's called Kinyan Perot. Get that clear. Forget about whether we hold Kinyan Perot as Kinyan Aguf or not. Whenever your veil is in play, it's always Kinyan Perot. Why? Because you're not acquiring the actual field, that's because it's always going back. Good. Now, what does Rabbi Yochanan say? Once there's two or three inheritors, what's the law? It goes back in Yovel. That's considered Kinyan Perot? because it goes back to Yovel. That's Kinyan Perot. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan would hold, hypothetically, that Kinyan Perot is not Kinyan Aguf, okay? So therefore, you never have a case of a guy reading the recitation of Bikurim. Why? Because unless he was a sole inheritor, the son of a sole inheritor, the son of a sole inheritor, all the way back to Yeshua Ben Nun. Because once there's two inheritors involved, so now when it's considered Kinyan Perot, because it's going to go back to the other guy in Yovel, and therefore once it goes back to the other guy in Yovel, and Kinyan Perot is Lavki Kinyan Aguf Dameh, they'll never say Ala Adama. So therefore the Gemara said, Rabbi Yochanan, it's a good thing you said Kinyan Perot is considered Kinyan Aguf. Because if you didn't know that, when you came into the Beit Midrash, you wouldn't find your hands and legs. Because you're the one that also held that when there's two or three inheritors, so then it turns back and goes back to your man. So you hold that every time there's two or three people inheriting, it's Kinyan Perot.
Unless it's Ziggur.
Right, you hold this Kinyan Perot. And therefore, since you hold this Kinyan Perot, and you're going to hold Kinyan Perot, it's Lavki Kinyan Aguf. So therefore, you'll never have a situation where the guy's going to read the Bikurim. Unless it's one inheritor, the son of one inheritor. Because why? Because once you have more than one inheritor, it goes back to your vets. Kinyan Perot, not Kinyan Aguf, you're not going to say the recitation. But now that you tell me that Kinyan Perot is considered Kinyan Aguf, I don't care if there's 10 inheritors. And you're right, it's Kinyan Perot. And you're right, it goes back in the Yovel. But Kinyan, at this point right now, in the interim, exactly, I own the whole field. Kinyan Naguf. Therefore, we have no questions. You'll be able to say Bikurim even in such a situation. Comes the Gemara. No, but it could be the Sheki doesn't hold of this case of Rabbi Yochanan when it comes to inheritors, it goes back to each other in Yovel. Gemara continues. Amar Rava. Kra umatnita misayele l'Rish Lakish. We have a pasuk, and we have also a baraita that supports the Rish Lakish, the bottom line. Which means the Rish Lakish is the opinion that held what? That a kinyan on perot is lav ki kinyan aguf damya. And therefore he says, I'm going to support the Rish Lakish from a pasuk and from a baraita. So Gemara says, Kra, what's the pasuk? B'mispar shene tevuot yimkor lach. The pasuk that's talking about selling a field at the times of Yovel, the pasuk says b'mispar shene tevuot, that you're selling what? You're selling the wheat. So you see that when the Yovel is kayam, a sale is not considered a sale of the ground itself. It's considered only that you're selling the perot. That's why the pasuk says b'mispar shene tevuot. That told you that is considered kinyan perot. However, comes the Gemara and says, and therefore, what do you see over there? That's not considered kinyan in the karka itself. Okay, comes the Gemara and says matnita. How do I know the pasuk? I'm sorry. How do I know the braita? The tanya bechor notel pi shenayim. We have a law that we know that a firstborn inherits double. But he only inherits double on fields that were in the father's possession at the time that he died. But if the field only came to the possession of the father after his death, for example, it was owed to him or something like that, then it's divided equally by the brothers. Now we're discussing a case over here where a Bechor receives double in the portion on a field that comes back to the father in Yovel. What's the case? Look at Rashi. Third line. Kilomar. Basadea chozeret la'achim. We're talking about a field that comes back to the brothers. Mahmat shemachra avihim, the father sold the field, and now it's coming back to them in Yovel. De'ida chazara b'chayav, if it came back when the father was still alive, pshita, of course the bechor is going to get double. Bashme'inam de'gufa karka lo haya kanui lilokeya. The chedush over here is that you have to say that the land was not owned by the buyer. Because if the land was owned by the buyer and then the father died, it's not considered in his possession at all to give a double Yerusha to the Bechor. Now they have to say, even when he sold it, he's still retaining the goof, and therefore it's by him. Therefore, when it fully comes back to the kids in Yovel, it can go to the Bechor as a double portion.
It's considered as if the father is holding the field before his death. Because if you consider it like that, right, if you're saying it's kinyan aguf, if you're saying that the buyer owns everything, that's a field that the father has no more connection to, that's considered just worthy to come back to him. And therefore the law says, diktiv bechol asher yimsal lo. Bechor only gets what the father has at the time of the death. B'muchzak b'yado. So that's another proof from the Braita that you see that kinyan of a field is only, they say it works kinyan perot, is not considered kinyan aguf, which means even though the field is going to be returned in the yovel, we consider it only as a kinyan in the perot and not in the goof itself, because it was considered again a kinyan in the goof. That means the buyer would have owned everything and the bechor would not get a double portion. From the fact that you're saying that the buyer only has perot, the goof is remaining by the original father, so therefore that's why when he gets it back, when the kids get it back, the bechor is able to take a double portion because it's still considered the father's possession. The proof that kinyan perot is not kinyan a goof. Come to Gemara and says, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Naktinan, we have a halakha. Baal b'nechse ishto sarich harsha'a. A husband, in regard to his wife's property, that's nechse milog. Nechse milog is a case where the wife owns the actual property itself. He only owns the perot. Now, if a case comes up against that field, the husband needs permission from the wife to represent her interest. What does that mean? Rashi. Sarich harsha'a me'ishto. Im ba ladun im shum adam beguf hakarka. Let's say a guy's coming along and claiming, hey, that field belongs to me. And they're coming to the husband. De'ileka harsha'a. If he didn't get permission from the wife, matze amar le, the fellow that has the claim could come along and tell the husband, you're not the one that I'm arguing with. Why the kinyan perot lav ki kinyan agufu, which means you only have kinyan perot. And therefore, you're not the one that I'm arguing with. Give me the lady that's in charge over here. So therefore, you see what? Since we said that the kinyan of perot is not kinyan aguf, if somebody has a claim on the land itself, so what's the law going to be? The law is going to be is that he has to get permission from the wife. Because to represent in the case. Because if he doesn't get permission, the fellow that's contesting over here and saying that the field belongs to him, he can tell the husband, you're not the one that I'm dealing with over here. It's not your field. So he has to get a hasha. This is talking about over here that what, where there's no question on the fruit. Which is we're talking about over here, where let's say the fruit, they agree. Which is the guy, even the husband agrees that what, the fruit was sold to this guy. We're not arguing. The only time you need permission from the wife when the machloket is only on the karka. But let's say the fruit is not on the contest. The fruit, everybody understands. Let's say the guy who's claiming it's his. Then already you need permission because the machloket is only on the karka. That's why you have to get the lady's permission. However, about nachit apere, but if he's also going and contesting the fruit, once already the husband can represent himself for the fruit, he can represent the wife for the karka. Because he's only getting perot as a result that the karka belongs to the wife. So once already there's a question on the perot itself, he doesn't have to get permission now from the wife to represent the karka. Because once already he can represent the perot, he's able to represent the karka as well. And as she says, דלא נחית לדון בפירה, שאין לו לדון עמו כלום בפירות, שאין לו טענה עם אותו איש בפירות. If there's no claim on the perot, if the husband agrees, the perot are yours. So what's your claim? The guy's claim is that the karka is also mine. Karka is also mine, you got to get permission from the wife to represent the karka. It's not his karka. If the guy comes, hey listen, the fruit are mine as well. Oh, now you're talking about my stuff. Now you're talking about the husband's property. Oh, so he can represent himself for the perot. He can represent the karka as well. Hadran alach. Hasholayach.